This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. We teach what the Bible is telling us are the best ways to handle money. You can learn how we can assist you on reducing, then eliminating your debt in total, so you can enjoy that debt-free life. Simply go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and preview our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. So, John, we have a very timely topic today that we want to discuss, and it's the great uses for your tax refund.
Well, Steve, before we get started on all the great uses, let me talk just a couple of minutes about the refunds itself and what's going on this year. Are you getting a big refund this year? I have to ask you, why? Why are you getting such a big refund? Why are you allowing the IRS to use your money for free all year long? Evelyn, the average tax refund last year was $2,895. That's almost $300 a month. How excited would you be? Actually, it's probably closer to $275 maybe a month. But how excited would you be if your boss gave you $275 extra per month?
I imagine everybody would be real excited
about
that.
Everybody should be excited about that, you know. And everybody would take the money and run. But, you know, you're getting a refund that's almost $3,000. Why? Go in and change the amount of money that's being withheld from your paycheck. Stop that drain now. Go to your HR department. You get a new W-4 worksheet and seriously go through all the numbers. I think that everybody, whether you're getting a huge return this year or not, should do this because the tax laws have changed. And in 2018, that minimum deduction or the personal deduction is going up to $24,000 for a married couple filing jointly. That's twice as much as what it's ever been. And I think it's important that you go in and recalculate the number of deductions. And just because it's you and your wife and two kids doesn't mean you can only take 4 deductions. You can take as many as you need to get the money correct.
So the money correct means we're tax neutral. We're not paying and we don't owe anything.
We're absolutely
not getting anything back and we don't owe anything.
Absolutely.
So for everybody who's gotten a big tax refund this year or who plans to get a tax refund, what should they do with it? What are your ideas about how they should spend that tax refund they're getting back this year?
Half the population can't pay an emergency $500 bill. 50% of the population. Are you one of them? With that extra money you're getting back, you can create an emergency fund. A real, live, full-blown emergency fund. I'm not talking about $100. How about a month's salary? Let's start there. Can you equal a month's salary with your tax return? If you can, do it.
Put it someplace where it's not in your checking account where you're going to be.
Yeah, not where you're going to be able to spend it. Absolutely, absolutely. That could be one of the most important things that you do this year. Because at some point, and I'll guarantee this, at some point you're going to have an emergency. Might not be this week, might not be next month.
Might not even be this year.
That's true. You will have an emergency, and if you don't have a fund, you will probably go into debt in order to take care of that emergency. So, create that emergency fund. If you've already got 1 month's income, start pushing for 3 months' income.
Because really where you want to be is your emergency fund is a year's income, right?
Ultimately, yes.
That would be
ultimately, yes. But, you know, nobody's going to be able to do that in 6 weeks. So you got to grow it, and you grow it on an annual basis, little by little by little.
Okay, what's your next idea? I've got my emergency fund. What else should I do with my tax refund?
Well, I would say we pay off our credit card debt.
Now, that's not we. People should pay off their credit card debt.
Oh, we don't have any debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, no, I'm talking...
Well, you said we.
This is the royal we, Evelyn.
I want to make sure you didn't do something I didn't know about. But really, paying interest on credit card debt is just a waste of money.
I agree.
So we want to start with the smallest credit card.
Yeah, we want to start with the smallest credit card. Pay that sucker off, just boom. Pay the whole thing. Use your refund, pay that off, and then if you've got some left over from your refund, you want to put it towards the second card, which has the smallest balance. Now it has the smallest balance, and you want to add to that what you were paying to pay off the first card. So every month now, you're paying more on that second card or the third card. If maybe you could pay off the first two cards with your tax refund, that would be just fantastic.
And the key is don't rack up debt while you're trying to do that. If you're charging something during the month, pay it off in addition to all the extra payments to get caught up on
Absolutely. As soon as you come to a month where you can't pay off that credit card, the new debt on it, cut it up. Cut it up.
That sounds pretty extreme.
That is absolutely extreme. But here you are, you're trying to pay off your credit cards and get them down as low as you can. And now you're charging more on top of it? No.
Should I close the account or just cut up the card?
Just cut up the card. Okay? You are not using it responsibly if you add more debt onto the stuff you've already got. Cut it up.
I can just hear everybody on the radio gasping in horror.
Are they the banks?
No.
You want me to what? That's sacrilegious. So to prioritize with the refund, number one priority, fund the emergency fund.
Yes. Absolutely.
Then work on the debt if you have excess.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's just so important to get out of debt. And, you know, by having the emergency fund, you're going to be able to eliminate going into more debt when you have an emergency. And now what you're doing is you're focusing on getting rid of those credit cards. And the faster you can get rid of them, the better. I mean, you got to be laser focused. And I've been reading a lot over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I've seen a lot of stories about people who have paid off $60,000 and $70,000 and $80,000 of credit card in less than a year. That is being laser focused. Now, you might not be able to do that. I understand. I mean, I took me like 3 years for us to get to $35,000 or $40,000 paid off that we had. But you have to attack it.
It's not going to go away unless you actually go out there and do something about it.
Absolutely.
The magic credit card fairy is not going to come and sprinkle payoff dust on you.
Payoff dust. There you go,
you like
Evelyn.
That? You like that, Steve? All right, what's the next thing?
Well, the next thing would be to maybe pad your savings account a little bit or add money into your Roth IRA. You can never have too much savings. Even though your income, the refund is not earned income, you earned it at some point in time, okay? You're working, so you can use that money to establish a Roth. And why am I pushing Roth? Well, the beauty of a Roth is that that money and all the gains you get from investing money in a Roth are not taxable, because you've already been taxed on that money and because you're using after-tax dollars. So your 401k accounts and your IRS accounts, all that money is put into the account before you're charged your taxes. So any principal or gains that you withdraw from an IRA or 401k, that's going to be taxable at the normal tax rate. The Roth is not taxable. It's not ultimately important in the next 5 years, but once you are ready to retire and you start pulling money out and you want to make that trip or you want to do this or that, and you can pull that money out and not be taxed, it's a good thing.
But there's some limitations on who can contribute to a Roth, correct?
You have to have earned income, and you can't have earned gobbledygook amount of income. But so it that phases would be some... out like at 160 or 80,000 or something like that.
Okay, so that would be something to check on the IRS website.
Yeah. Another thing would be to, you know, we're talking about it, padding your savings, increasing your retirement savings. These two go hand in hand with each other. Over half Americans have nothing saved for retirement right now. The median retirement income, or excuse me, account balance for those people who do have retirement accounts is $59,000.
That's like the total total?
Total. How long, a median, it's a median amount, but how long are you going to be able to live on $59,000?
Sounds like 18 months.
Maybe, yeah. If you believe that you can live on that plus your Social Security benefit, you know, the average Social Security benefit's only $1,350, okay? That's just a hair over $16,000 a year.
That Social Security benefit by itself.
Yeah.
And then you can't take that much out of the retirement fund, because if you do, it's going to be depleted shortly.
Less than 18 months. So you better be saving for retirement. You know, here's another unbelievable fact. The Federal Reserve in a recent study found that 46% of those people who are 55 to 64 still had a mortgage of an average of $156,000. The monthly payment was $795. That's 59% of the average Social Security. And if you're 65 to 74, 35% of that population still had a mortgage. And they're paying $565 for that mortgage. Your housing costs are going to eat you alive. And you've got to get things paid down. Get them paid off.
Well, and when you get into retirement, there's all kinds of other costs like health care and, you know, your costs don't go away just because you're retired, especially if you haven't had a budget and hadn't been using it, managing your spending. Those cost of livings that you're paying today are just going to stay there.
Yeah, it's going to go up, cost of living. You know, the average couple at age 65 can expect to pay $250,000 over their lifetime just in health costs. That, if you work that out on a monthly basis, it's about $550 per month per couple. There goes your Social Security payment. It haven't included food, clothing, entertainment, transportation, utilities. You know, you've wiped it out just paying your mortgage and your health costs. That is a scary proposition.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Remember the website, compasscatholic.org. And today we're giving you some great uses for your tax refund. Of course, the number one priority is starting an emergency fund. Or if you already have one started, add to it. The goal is to get to at least 1 month's salary, then 3 months' salary, and then a year. So then the next priority is to pay off the credit card debt, then fund your retirement. Now, if you missed any of the points that we're going to go through in today's show, we have posted them. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down to Compass on the Radio, and you'll see show notes. So, Evelyn, how about if we get back into it and share another great idea on how to use your tax refund?
You know, another thing that would be good to do with that excess money once you have the emergency fund established and you save for retirement and you've paid off your debt is to save for the college fund for the kids or grandkids, because college costs are horrendous, aren't they?
They are. You know, the average, today's average cost for just tuition in a in-state public college is about $9,100 a year. To go to the same kind of a school that's out of state, or if you are out of state and coming to that same school, you're going to pay about $22,500. Same education, just a different rate. And if you're going to go to a private college, whether it's in-state or out, the tuition is going to be over $31,000 a year.
So that does not include room and board and transportation and food and all that other
books,
stuff.
Spending money.
Who service gets spending money
fees,
in college?
Yeah. Yeah, room and board at any school, public or private, in-state or out-state, that doesn't really change, is going to cost between $10,000 and $12,000 per year. That's on top of the other. So at a in-state public school, basically you've just doubled the cost of the education for a year, because you got $9,100 for tuition, you got $10,000 for room and board. If you have children who expect to go to college, you better save, and then save some more.
Because, you know, so many kids are graduating with such enormous amounts of student debt that it really hampers their ability to do much of anything in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they can't even get a job that will cover student debt and their housing and living expenses.
The worst example of that, I think, that we've talked to is a young lady we talked to 2 or 3 years ago who graduated with, I can't tell you how many degrees she had. She had several. She was almost a professional student, and it was all in degrees like social work, where there's no big bucks anyway, and she had over $200,000 of tuition debt.
And, I mean, she was highly educated. She had a lot of degrees, but she was not working in any of the fields that she had degrees in.
Well, and she was earning less than $30,000 a year.
Yeah, really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way to get ahead of that. It's like being underneath an avalanche.
How about paying off your mortgage, Evelyn?
I don't think anybody who has not paid off their mortgage can understand the relief that comes with not having a mortgage. But, you know, a lot of people use that as a tax deduction, John, and that's not really a good idea, right?
No, and it's becoming, with the new tax laws that go into effect this year, it's going to be even harder to make that argument. In the past, if somebody had $10,000 of interest charges, and that wasn't real difficult to do over the course of a year, you could reduce your taxes, but you only reduced it by the percentage you were in. So if you paid $10,000 in interest payments over the course of the year on your mortgage, and you were in a 25% tax bracket, that means your tax credit or your tax savings was equal to 25% times the $10,000 or $2,500.
So I paid $7,500 for nothing?
Well, you paid $7,500 in interest charges.
Ooh.
But I got a deal for you, Evelyn. I will let you give me $10,000 a year every year. In fact, I'll even let you do it on a monthly basis. And for every $10,000 you give me, I'll give you back $2,500. Steve, isn't that a great deal?
Yeah, I was gonna, such a deal.
I was going to defer to Steve, hoping he would bite.
Hey, what do I look like? Hey, a question on a prepay. So I get a refund check back from Uncle Sam. Use that towards my monthly mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's one thing that you can do, yes.
And I will tell you this. If you go to compasscatholic.org, we have a calculator on there. And if we want an eye-opener on just making additional payments, let's say you have a $800 a month mortgage. Let's say you make a $900 every month. You would be amazed at how much interest you will save, how fast you'll pay off your home.
Yes.
And you look at the money will come into your pocket rather than the interest that you'll pay to a bank.
Right.
Exactly. It's amazing. But there's a great calculator at compasscatholic.org.
And, you know, you want to make sure that you get that mortgage paid off before you retire. I mean, that's always been in the past, the generations that preceded us. That was always the goal. You know, they were never going to get into retirement without having a mortgage paid off. And today we're seeing more and more and more people, like we were just talking about a little bit ago, who are carrying mortgages into their 70s and 80s. And
they don't have the income to support a big mortgage payment at that point.
It's really it's a tough situation to put yourself in.
Yeah, I can imagine when you are quoting those statistics for someone over the age of 65, the size of their mortgage.
Yeah.
And you are retired.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Well, speaking of homes, what about home improvements? Is that a good thing to use my refund on?
I think it's a good thing. Your house is probably the largest investment that you will ever make. And, you know, you've probably lived in that house for several years or maybe even a decade or two. And most people just don't ever get around to upgrading their house. You know, they may put in a new air conditioner because the old one failed, okay, and they had no air conditioning in 90 degree weather. So they actually had to do something then. But most people will not do the cosmetic things that are necessary to get it painted whenever it needs to be painted, to get the new roof put on, things like that. Maybe update the kitchen. You know, I would do things that are going to make your lifestyle easier, you know, make you enjoy, that will allow you to enjoy your house more.
Well, the other thing is you're talking about people that can't afford their mortgage payments. And if they get to the point where they need to sell the house, if it's upgraded, it's certainly going to sell faster than something that's a mess and hasn't been maintained.
Yes.
So
yes.
Those upgrades are important to do.
We've been exposed to a lot of people in coaching type situations. And we know of one couple who lived in a house for 20 years, almost 18, I guess, maybe. They'd never owned a house before and they did no maintenance. You know, when the heater failed, they did without heat. And when the air conditioning failed, you know, they bought a little window air conditioning and put it in the bedroom, and they kept the windows open in the rest of the house. They just didn't do any maintenance. And when they finally sold that house, it was probably a $150,000 house when they bought it. And when they sold it, they only walked away with $20,000.
So they lived there all that time and lost equity in it.
Yeah, basically.
Even after making all those payments.
Yeah, yeah, because they didn't do anything to it. They didn't maintain it.
What about buying a car? Should I buy a car?
You could add money to your next car fund. You know, that's a pretty catchy phrase there, next car fund. I've got a next car fund. Your car that you're driving today is probably in great shape, okay? And you don't need to get a car immediately. But take your refund, put it into a savings account that will allow you to save up so that when you do get ready to buy a car, a replacement vehicle, that you've got the money to pay cash.
And that saves you on that silly interest rate, right?
You know, I was reading an article. The best car to buy for the least amount of money is to go after a car that has 100,000 miles, is more than 10 years old, and is not like one of the big three sellers in today's automobile market. Because you're going to get another 100,000 out of that. You know, the chances are great for that. You're going to pay $3,000 to $5,000. And you haven't wasted any money on depreciation or anything else. You're truly buying transportation.
And that's all a car is really supposed to be, not a status symbol.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And what's your last idea for how to spend that tax refund? What's your big finish here, John?
Well, I don't know. I think, how about donating to a charity? I think people just... You know, when you're asked to donate to a cause, a mission, people will do that, and they're happy to do it. But they don't think about the other times when nobody's really pushing them. But there are lots of charitable organizations out there that really need help. What I would suggest is align yourself with an organization like that. Find out about them. You know, what are they doing? Why do you like them? What's their vision? How is that compatible with the way you think? And then support them in a small way to be able to succeed at their mission.
Love the idea of using a portion of your tax refund to give, to donate. And if you've been listening, you did not hear us once say, use the tax refund and go out and blow it on a want. Again, the top priority, fund the emergency fund. If you haven't started, begin one. If you already have one going, keep adding to it. Before we leave you today, let's answer a question we received this week from one of our listeners, John and Evelyn. We have about $5,000 in savings, $37,000 left on an auto loan, and $89,000 left on our mortgage. We were planning on going on a trip overseas, but your money map suggests paying off the auto loan before saving for trips. However, if we wait the length of time it'll take us to pay off the loan, the trip will be more expensive then. What do you suggest?
You know, Steve, I think this is one of those things that you can justify to yourself if you want to spend money. If I take the vacation now, it's going to be less money. But if you've got a large credit card debt, that money you're going to save on buying the vacation now is just getting wasted with paying interest on that credit card debt.
Well, in the savings that you're going to save by taking the trip now, I'm pretty sure is not going to pay off that credit card debt. And probably all you're going to do is add to it, right?
So I think they should wait until they're in better financial shape to take that big fancy trip to Europe.
Absolutely. In the meantime, they can go somewhere, take a weekend trip or something like that, that maybe they only have one overnight, and they can pack a picnic so that they're not spending six meals being gone 2 days. And you just have to be smart about these things. That's all it is.
Smart and frugal.
As always, John and Evelyn, thank you so much for the advice. If you have a financial challenge, maybe a situation that you are experiencing and you would love John and Evelyn's help, by all means, email your question to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. By the way, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. If you want to listen to some of the past shows, simply go to compasscatholic.org. Scroll down about halfway on the homepage and you'll see Compass on the radio. Again, thanks for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.